White, W.C. White, Mary. Fresno, California, April 14, 1890. Dear son Willie and daughter Mary, we arrived here last Friday, 11:30. I was solicited to speak in the afternoon and did so with freedom of the Spirit of the Lord, but I found myself very weak. Sabbath afternoon, I spoke again to a large congregation, and then we called them forward, and there were a goodly number who responded, more than 100. I thank the Lord that the testimony given me of the Lord seems to reach the heart, and the opposition and resistance cannot stand against it. The meetings are settling things in this place. I am very much troubled with weakness of the muscles, which are exercised when I speak. Sometimes it seems that I cannot endure the weakness and soreness of the muscles as I attempt to speak. Meetings are doing good, and now we shall begin to set things in order, Sunday after I speak at this meeting. Sunday, the tent was crowded. The wealthiest men in the city of Fresno were present to hear and to see that woman who put out that pamphlet. Sabbath, some of the first men in the place said, "That woman is all right. She is not a fraud. She speaks as if she knows these things." Another said he never had listened to such a discourse in his life. He wanted to hear Mrs. White every time she spoke. I spoke nearly 2 hours Sunday. The meeting was large and the tent full, and all present listened with the greatest attention. I was a little stronger than on Sabbath and could speak with much less pain. In the evening at 6:00, about 20 or 30 collected in Brother Bell's cottage, and I made a plain, clear, sharp statement of things in Fresno and of the course Elder Daniels and his wife had taken. They were present, and Elder Daniels began to confess. He seemed to have deep feeling, and I could feel that the Lord was working with the poor soul. Both he and his wife went quite thorough. Of course, everything is not seen at once, but we see decided improvements in softening and in breaking of hearts before God. This morning we had another meeting where I read some things pointedly for Brother Church in regard to his chart and his philosophy, which I stated was not true, that they confused judgment and were ideas that himself had originated that could not in any way bring light and peace and assurance to the heart of believers, that God could not impress the heart unless these strange fancies were given up. These things which he brought into the church were a mixture of ideas and fragments of things pieced together, a little truth and a mixture of error. All his teaching of these things brought no light, but confusion and darkness. He arose and said, "If this had come to me 5 years ago, I could not have received it." Said he received the testimony. He was not right. He must have a new heart, and he was going to agonize for it day and night. I said, "Brother Church, the Lord has said, 'A new heart will I give you.'" Ezekiel 36, verse 26. You may labor, you may work with all your powers for a new heart, and you will be just as far from your object as you are at the present time. You cannot prepare the garment of righteousness for yourself. You must put on the garment of righteousness of Christ, which has been woven in Christ's loom. All your struggles and wrestlings are unnecessary. All you have to do is to believe the naked promise of God. Cast yourself helpless and dependent on the merits of the blood of a crucified, risen Savior. Christ says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Revelation 3, verse 20. All you have to do is to open the door for Jesus. Rest with unwavering faith in the promises of God. Our meeting closed, and tonight we have another meeting of the same order. I may speak today, I cannot say. May the Lord direct. There is a letter come to you from Brother John Fulton. Letters come in thick and fast for me to come to the Oregon and Upper Columbia meetings, urging an immediate answer. I told Brethren Underwood, Loughborough, and McClure I would go to these meetings, so the word has gone to the Upper Columbia Conference and Portland that I will attend their camp meetings.
Now another matter comes in. Brother Joe Hutchings proposes we come up to where he lives and rest a few days. Then he will not consent to anything else but that he shall take us on that trip to Yosemite. What think you of this? Will you please to write me at once what is your mind in this matter? It is a question with me whether I can attend the meetings east of the Rocky Mountains. I feel great reluctance in going east again. I find myself full of malaria. Everything I eat is bitter. I do feel that the strain has been so great upon me that I must have a change. Will you please to tell me what you think of what I have written? I have consulted my brethren in the ministry and told them I would follow their decision whether I attend the meetings at Healdsburg or go to Oregon. They have decided that I had better go to Oregon. I can attend meeting in Oakland, go to St. Helena, attend 1 week's meetings in Healdsburg, then go to Oregon. I send you this letter from Brother Fulton. I also received one from Brother Farrow. Brothers Underwood and Loughborough received letters from Decker and Fulton with such earnest appeals for me to come to Upper Columbia meetings and Oregon that I think that I will go, trusting in the Lord that He will give me strength. After that, I long to be somewhere for a little rest, where I can be retired and write. I dare not venture east, books or no books. If I cannot write here and make connections, then I cannot keep up the bookmaking. I think of you all, especially Mary, and offer up my prayers in her behalf that the best of heaven's blessing may rest upon her and her little ones. Much love to you all. Mother.